Hey, Bulldogs fans, it's time for the AC All Access Show, brought to you by Adrian College and Frickers of Adrian, where we unlock the doors to the heart of Adrian College athletics, including live interviews from Adrian College coaches and players.
Welcome in to the AC All Access Show on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com. Here at Frickers and Adrian, South Main Street. What a nice day outside, but it's always better in Frickers. Weekday specials, drink specials, anything that your heart desires. I think you can find it here at Frickers. Food, fun, sports, and spirits. Boy, what a lineup we have for you today. Coming up later, talk with either Mike Prang or Craig Graney, whoever really wants to grab the microphone, to just talk about the postseason preview for NCAA sports and the NCHA as well. A lot of stuff there. We're going to talk some ACHA men's Division One and Division Three ice hockey. We'll talk some Adrian College football and baseball with alum Aaron Klotz. Stay tuned for that. But we're leading off strong. You always put your strongest hitters at the top of your lineup. We're going to start with Taz Wallace. He's an Adrian College alum, a graduate of 2007, a Hall of Famer for Adrian College Athletics, a 2021 inductee. We're not going to do like a WWE intro, but Taz, thanks for coming on the show and talking some athletics.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, well, lots happened in your life since your time at college. I want to start with the thing that's listed on the bottom. And, we're in a new era of Adrian College football. You were a member of the football hiring committee that brought Coach Joe Palka and his family into the Bulldog family. If you talk to the listeners about what goes into hiring a football coach at the college level.
You know, I think there's a lot of detail, and you want to get someone that's going to add value to the institution. And I think Coach Palka is that person. I think it's important to get the right person from an AC standpoint that can reinstate the tradition of Adrian College football. And it's intense. It requires you to be very diligent in terms of who you're bringing in to be the next person. There's a lot of history at Adrian College, and I think it's important to have someone in that's going to add to that tradition. Mm-hmm. And, Coach Palka is that person.
Being a former player and a coach after your playing career, you kind of get to see both sides of it, right? What you want to see from, you being a player and what you want to see in a coach, and being on the other side saying, like, here are the qualities that make a good coach from that lens. Is that fair to say that, you bring that unique experience?
Yeah, and I think it's an opportunity to really take a step back, not being at the college every day, all day, and looking for that individual that was going to add that value to the college. And more importantly, I think build young men. And that's one of the things that is lost in the landscape today is that, college athletics is an opportunity for people to grow as individuals. Football is such a temporary thing. So having the ability to have someone that can really impact the lives of young men was important. And I think that, that must be something that you have to be intentional about that process in terms of who you select to impact those young men.
And after the announcement came out that Adrian hired Coach Palka from Saline High School, just the social media reaction from the Adrian community and the Saline community that says, gosh, you got a good guy. When you saw all those comments flooding in, did you you knew you had the right guy, but did that kind of affirm what you already thought with Coach?
Yeah. He's a class act. He's a first-class guy, cares about what he's doing, so it certainly did.
Talking with Taz Wallace, an Adrian College football alum and a graduate of AC from 2007, a couple years ago. Your playing days at Adrian, they can look you up on the website. I'm not going to read all these accolades. People in the Adrian community know who you are. People know that you were in the coaching ranks yourself. What are you up to now?
Yeah, so, I enjoy coaching while I did it. I'm the founder and CEO of my company, TW Consulting. We work with school districts to implement programs to support at-risk and underserved students nationwide to make sure that those kids have a good foundation to go out and be the best version of themselves.
Yeah, is that focused on Lenawee County local, or you mentioned the nationwide, but you have to start somewhere. Are you doing stuff in the Adrian area?
Nope, actually we started outside. We started in different states all by design. And, you know, that was something that was important to go somewhere where there wasn't any relationships. There wasn't people that I knew. And that was the angle that I took.
Okay.
And I'm very thankful to be doing it. And certainly something that I'm very appreciative of. But this is my purpose. This is why I'm doing the work. And it's important to be intentional about the work. And it's something I'm very passionate about.
What are the types of things that you provide? I know there's a lot of services for at-risk youth and children and young adults. What's your main focus?
Yeah, we have a student success model that will contribute to the foundation development of our young people and allow them and help them build a foundation that is conducive to growth, to their success, to allow them to create habits. And, you know, the thing that I really try to do is go in and listen and understand where school is, where the kids are, and then we start working for the solution. And so the student success model has been successful. And, you know, it's so needed today. It's needed now more than ever. We have a lot of young people that are struggling to, you know, be the best version of themselves. They're struggling with a lot of pressure. They're struggling with trying to fit in, trying to find their way. So, you know, we're passionate about the work, and we'll continue to do it.
Talking with Taz Wallace, a grad of Adrian College and Athletics Hall of Famer, a defensive everything back in the day for Adrian College. When I talk to other people that try to do the same types of things you do, but maybe in a different way, they say that they were helped out when they were youth, and that kind of inspired them to do that type of thing. Is that the same case for you, Taz, that you had people helping you out on your way through life?
Absolutely, and the relationships are critical. I've been fortunate to have a lot of great relationships throughout my life. Aaron Klotz, Craig Rainey, Jim Lau, those people impacted my life, and that's something I'm very appreciative of. And it is. It's about, you know, making those relationships and having genuine, meaningful relationships with people that truly care about you as an individual. And that part is important.
Without a doubt. If people want to, maybe if they're listening now, I know you're not focused on the local area, but if people want to learn about what you're doing, how can they do that?
Our website is TazWallace.com.
That's simple enough.
Yep.
TazWallace. .com.
Absolutely.
All right. Wow. Pretty simple. Just go there and they can find out all about what you're doing for the youth. I want to switch back to football. I mean, I think you can understand that. You being a football player and me calling games and Coach Palka coming in. This is now your second kind of coaching change in your time around Adrian College from Coach Lyle to Coach Deere, now to Coach Palka. It's just a new energy. Not saying it's better. It's different, and it's new. Do you kind of feel the momentum around this program a little bit after the hire?
I think so, and I think we'll know more in the fall. But I do feel it.
Okay.
I'm happy for Coach Palka and his staff. I think they're going to go out, and again, we have to bring the tradition back. And that's the thing that's for me, that's important. There's a lot of tradition involved with Adrian College football. Those are the things that I remember. Not the stats, not the accolades, just the relationships and the tradition. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of excitement, and I think we're all looking forward to that tradition being relevant throughout the program.
Yeah, absolutely. Adrian College pride on the football field, for sure. Another hiring question. Division III is in a unique spot where, you know, do you go after a Division II assistant so they can be a head coach? Do you hire within Division III? Do you stay within your staff? Or do you go high school? You went with the high school coach, the regional guy. You know, he's done quite a bit of good at Saline. was that list kind of what I described, where it's like we could go Division II, we could go Division III, we could go high school? That's a unique position, right, for a Division III school?
Absolutely. And you want someone that's not looking for the next job.
Mm-hmm.
And today that's hard to find.
Yeah.
So getting someone that wasn't looking for the next job was important because the process is going to take time. It may take a year, it may take 2 years, it may take three, whatever that is, I don't know. However, you didn't want someone that was going to leave or looking for the next job in 1 to 2 years.
Right, and I was at the introductory press conference, and that was one of the questions I asked him is, I'll paraphrase, but is this a long-term job, or what do you see? And he made it very clear that he'd been keeping an eye on Adrian College, and like this would be maybe not a place you end your career, but a place where he felt he could make an impact for a number of years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's obviously something you were looking for. And look, Adrian's had stability with coaches. I mean, Coach Lyle was there for a long time. Coach mm-hmm. Deere was there for a long time. And Coach Palka seems to have that intention. So overall, that hiring process, Taz, or the committee, I should say, quite a diverse group of people in terms of, you being a former player. You obviously have the athletic director, Craig. You have, I'm sure, administration putting their hand into it. I mean, that's cool. That's unique, right? How was that whole experience looking back on it now?
It was great. Very humbling to be a part of the process. And it was great. It was great to be involved in the process, to bring in the next person that was going to have an impact on the program. So it was certainly something that I didn't take for granted. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be involved in it, to be involved with Aaron Klotz, Craig Rainey, and being involved with those people. Again, it's about relationships, right? So being in those rooms wasn't foreign to us because we already have relationships that are established.
All right, Taz. What's next for you besides your I'm going to call it advocacy for at-risk youth? You're going to be keeping an eye on the ticker for the scores for Adrian College football, right? Or you might go to some games. Maybe you're a regular.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I want to be able to go and watch a team that cares about what they're doing, right? And I think that's important, is that everyone that's a part of the program understands the history of the program, your tradition of the program, and then understand how they can add to that history and that tradition. So it's important. I played 20 years ago, right, whatever it is, but we still talk today because it's about relationships.
Sure.
All the awards, all the wins, all the trophies, all those things are temporary, right? Those are temporary things. The relationships are forever, right? So when you really buy in and you're not looking to transfer because things got hard, you start to build relationships that are lifelong.
Right, and I'll piggyback on that. And, I think it's around Division III and Division II, too, is if you show out in Division III, you're getting phone calls from other schools. And we've had some talent come into the program, and then I'm looking, like, where are they next year? Oh, they transferred to somewhere else. Building those relationships and doing special things, and I think you hit the nail on the head.
The relationships are going to keep people there. Right?
Right.
Relationships. That's what it's about. In 20 years, it's going to be about the work that you put in with guys, good and bad, the adversity that you went through, and how you overcame that together. My teammates and I today, we still hold each other accountable as husband and fathers, and that's 20 years ago. But we have a certain expectation for each other, and we talk often, and that's so important, and I can't talk about that enough. It's all about relationships.
All right, Taz, I appreciate your time stopping out at Frickers, talking about this Adrian College football program and what you're doing for youth. Thank you again, and we'll see you around.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
Once again, Taz Wallace, an Adrian College football alum, a grad of 2007. I'll read all his accolades now. A 2021 Adrian College Athletics Hall of Fame inductee. He is the Football Gazette All-American and two-time D3Football.com All-American, a three-time All-MIAA selection, and a two-year captain. He played in the East Coast Bowl All-Star Game and the Magnolia Bowl All-Star Game. He's the program's all-time leading tackler, total tackles, solo tackles, assisted tackles. He's fourth in program history in tackles for a loss and forced fumbles. And, of course, most recently, a member of the football hiring committee who brought in Coach Joe Palka. On the other side of this break, we're going to talk more Adrian College football and maybe some baseball as well. Aaron Klotz, he's no stranger to a microphone. We'll talk to Klotz right after this. This is the ACL Access Show, live from Frickers in Adrian on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
There's plenty of upcoming AC sports for you to enjoy. Take your pick from men's hockey, women's hockey, and men's volleyball games happening throughout the weekend on the campus of Adrian College.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Into the hearts and minds of Adrian College Bulldogs, we're focusing a lot on alumni today, and that's just fine with me. We just got done talking with Taz Wallace. Now we're going to talk with Aaron Klotz, who did a football game with me not this past season, but the year before.
Yes.
Had a fun time, of course. No stranger to the Adrian College community. He's a 1998 grad of Adrian College. I won't tell you how old I was then, but Klotz, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
For once, you're not traveling.
I am not. We have a very important baseball practice today. It's 60 degrees, so I made sure I was home today.
Want to talk baseball first or football?
Let's talk football, you know, because baseball is upon us, so we'll do some football.
Put a bow on football?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Hall of Fame inductee of 2008. Again, I won't tell you how old I was then, but for football and baseball, 97 football All-American, All-MIAA selection, football All-Region, all that kind of stuff. Hey, you were a member of the hiring committee to bring Coach Palka in. You probably bring a little different perspective than Taz, but I'm sure some similarities with what kind of person you want in that position.
Yeah, no, as a former player first, and someone that was actually originally recruited to come play football before I played baseball, and had the opportunity to have my first experience on campus, it was something that was very important to me as a former player. Then, you know, fast forward, I was lucky enough to coach, or I guess, yeah, rewind, I was lucky enough to coach after playing. And, you know, honestly, you know, I had to step down from coaching just because it was important to my family to financially to do some different things at that time.
Sure.
I still love coaching football. So it's always been, as an alum, as a former player, as a former coach, I bleed black and gold. I wouldn't do what I do now, just much like you yourself, for Adrian College, if you didn't care. So it was important for us to, when we had an opportunity to look for the next new head coach, of someone that we thought, one, was obviously an outstanding person, two, could coach football, and three, put those two together and win games. And I think we found that with, obviously, Coach Joe.
Yeah, and it's, you know, bittersweet to say goodbye to a coach that's been around for a long time and had brought championships to the program, but now we have Coach Palka in the seat, and when I talked with Taz, the outpouring of support on social media from our neighbors to the north in Saline, and I think the Adrian College community, he hasn't even coached a game yet, but I think he's a fan favorite.
Yeah, no, I've obviously known Joe for a while. He actually coached a year with me when I was a defensive coordinator. He was actually a principal at Summerfield High School, driving every night. So to see his sons now on the coaching staff, to when I saw them, you know, it's I don't consider myself old, but when I saw them at the press conference, they were like, yeah, I remember, you know, we were 5 and 7 years old, and now they're coaches. Obviously had successful playing careers. Joe's built right. You're right. Coach Deer is obviously a great guy and a great friend, but unfortunately that's part of the business of what we do, you know, at the end of the day. And now it's a new era, and Joe is, when Joe interviewed, he was prepared. He already had a plan in place, almost like he was looking forward to doing this. And not saying it's, you know, the insult to Celine people, but he was planned. He had everything ready for his interview to start. He could have started that night, put it that way. Yeah, it was very impressive.
I think so. And, you know, when he answered questions from me and others, he sounded genuine in saying, I'm going to paraphrase, but he wants to coach here for, I'll say, a long time, whatever that may be. But he has the intent of not using this as a collegiate stepping stone. He'd already coached in college. So he seemed to be committed for whatever the long term may be, you know, 5 years, 10 years. I don't want to put a number on it, but was that part of the hiring process? If you want a guy that can commit years, plural, to this program?
Yeah, you want someone that's proven, that's committed, and someone that, you know, that you're going to have the ability to look at an 18-year-old and their parents and say, you're going to come here, and it's going to cost money. It's Division III football,
yeah,
right? I'm going to be here, and I'm going to recruit. I'm going to develop, and we want to win, but I'm going to be here for your son. I mean, so many times here, as you coach here, and I'm always around it, you realize that the kids we coach, their parents have entrusted you as a coach to be their dad, to be their mom, to make sure they're doing the right thing, make sure that you're instilling more than just winning football games. And I think Joe will obviously do that.
I think we're getting, looking at the weather, I feel like spring football's around the corner, but we're getting close to that. Since the announcement of him getting hired, and now I don't know what all he's done, but I know National Signing Day was yesterday, I think.
Correct.
Now, have you still been keeping an eye on what Coach is doing?
Yeah, I've actually helped with some recruiting visits. He's asked me to come in. I've had a couple of my former teammates and roommates, kids, come back to visit, whether they're in the transfer portal or graduates or incoming freshmen. So I've been around. Coach Shields and I talk a bit because I'm obviously from Jackson and trying to help him get into my high school, Lumen Christi High School. So we've had a couple of those kids down. I think they came on Monday. So I'm still trying to help out. I know they do their job, but I'm a big Twitter guy. So if I see something, I'd be like, hey guys, we on this guy, you know? So I'm still following what they do, and I'm trying to help them too, because there's only so many of them. And if you can introduce them to someone to get them in the door or whatever, you know, that's what we're here to do to help.
Yeah. And I feel like it's important to take care of our own backyard, you know? I feel great for kids that play college football wherever it is. But, you know, if you see, let's say, an onset kid going Division III somewhere else,
get him here on campus. Are you talking to this kid?
Exactly.
You know, and I actually, you know, laughed myself this morning, and I forget the kid's name. He's at Lenawee Christian, but I said to Joe one night, the first night he was here, you know, and I was like, hey, I think this kid's pretty talented. You know, and I look today, and he signed with Michigan State.
Yeah,
so maybe I was all right. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I think you were on the right track with that.
Yeah, I know. And I just said, looking at that film, you might want to look at this kid, you know. And then I'm like, oh, wow, Michigan State preferred walk-on, pretty cool for him.
Yeah, that is nice. All right. Want to transition to baseball?
Sure, let's do it. We're going to have practice in an hour and a half, so let's get it going.
You got somewhere to be, and coach has, you know, somewhere to be too. Another year of Bulldog baseball, just the expectation is there again to compete for and win MIAA championships, regular season and post, but you got to build to it, right? You got some traveling to do coming up. How's the team look?
So we have everyone back but two or three kids, two important pieces that played pitching-wise. I get asked this question every day, and I, obviously what I do for my job, I'm talking to coaches, and they're like, how the Bulldogs going to be here? Talked to Tommy Parsons today, one of our former players, and he's transitioning out of baseball, growing up with life now and working a real job.
Okay.
And he said, how are the dogs doing? How's things going? And, you know, I said, we were very talented. You know, obviously Coach Rainey's done a great job with Gunner, bringing in great players. We got everyone back, but, you know, sometimes that can be good or bad. I think in this case it's good. We're experienced. Coach Rainey left practice early last night to take care of some administration stuff at the basketball game. But like I told the guys, it's fun to go to practice with these guys. They enjoy the 2 hours we're going to be there. I imagine today will be really good because it's nice. Everyone wants to, you know, no one wants to be out there when it's cold, even though we tell them, like, hey, we got to ignore that. We got to play in this stuff. But
right,
today's are the days that we want to be out there, and we're talented. We're going to play really good teams. But it's like I told Tommy today on text, like, sooner or later, to be a really good team, you got to beat good teams. And, yeah, you can say they've been outside for 20 days and they played more games than us, but our expectations are that we should win a lot more than we should lose with this group. And we should win, you know, a lot with these guys if we do things right.
Talking with Aaron Klotz on the ACL Access Show. What you just said about not only playing with and competing with, but beating good teams reminds me of Michigan State basketball. They schedule these highly ranked teams. Well, they played them well. Well, yeah, but you didn't win. At some point, you got to win these games. And you've certainly won meaningful games at Adrian. How do you as a coach get to that point? I mean, is it a mental thing or is it just repetition or how do you approach that?
So it's like actually what I told the guys yesterday after practice. I said, like, everything we're doing here, like our games in the next 3 weeks we play are going to come down to like three things. I mean, one of our football coach, Coach Lyle, like we always used to say football games, they came down to five plays. What were those five plays? Were they good? Were they bad? Did we do it? And baseball is very much – you know, I was talking to all the guys, like, you know, are we going to make a big pitch? We're going to get a big hit? I mean, we're going to be able to field it. We're going to be able to hit it. We're going to be able to pitch it most of the time. How well can you do that consistently? And then when the money's on the line and the lights are the brightest, like, do you make plays or do you not do that? And it's just training and belief, man. I mean, I read a thing, or saw a thing the other day of a kid from Central Michigan who's an All-America baseball player. Like, he had a really good freshman year, and he said, the seniors that I played with thought that they had me build up so good that he goes, I thought it was Miguel Cabrera. He's like, and I wasn't very good. But he's like, the mindset that they made us believe in, he goes, it was huge. And that's what it is belief. Like, I think last year we didn't know how good we could be. We had a little lull there in the middle of the year, and then at the end of the year we obviously caught fire. And if you would have played us, and Marietta beat us twice, but that team earlier in the year, if they would have played Marietta at the end, that wouldn't have been close. But the way we – you know, commanded the conference tournament and believed and won in there against Marietta, you know, it was a different opportunity and it was a different mindset. And we knew we didn't want to win. We didn't, you know, hope we could win. We were expecting to win. And that's what you got to do.
All right. And it's, I feel like I talk to runners about this a lot, is you want to peak at the right time. Now you want to stack wins if you're a baseball club.
Yeah.
But you know, a win next week is a lot different than a win in May. You know, you don't want to tell the kids that, but, you know, you want to hit your stride at the right time. You want to go into a tournament on a streak.
Yeah, we saw that the other day. Like, we basically told them, like, yeah, we want to win them all. Probably not going to. We want to. But
sure.
We're building for May, right? You know, I guess it's basketball in March, right? You
right.
know, and football, it's November, December. Baseball, it's May in our case. You know, by the end of April, we're playing a conference tournament. One, you got to get to the conference tournament. When you get to the conference tournament, you just don't want to sneak in. You want to be playing well when you get there. And then if you do that, it just continues to go. And then after that, when everyone gets in the NCAA tournament, you're going to be playing someone that's good, right? So
right.
now it's like, all right, they push all the chips in. Who's better, right?
Those five plays.
Yeah.
Runner on second, two out in the seventh inning. Are you going to get a hit? Are you going to get that out?
We lost right. two run games to Marietta in the regionals. And if you look back at it, there was about five things that didn't go our way and went third way. They won. We did it, you know. And so, yeah, that's right.
When Bulldog fans read the recaps of your games when you get going, what are some names that you think people will see a lot of this year?
Well, obviously, when you start, our corner guys are very good. A.J. Moran is like 32 years old.
I was going to say still.
You know, he's – I think we were talking about it yesterday because I was kidding with him at the end of practice. But, like, he is not the oldest on our team. He's 22, maybe 23. But we have a transfer catcher that's actually our oldest, I learned yesterday, who's almost 23. So we have AJ, and then we have Ryan Davis at the corners. And then obviously in the middle, you have Jacob Charles. We have Gus Weeks, Drew Atherton, experienced guys. Catching wise, you have a handful of guys that could be in there.
Okay.
And then in the outfield, you'll see a bunch of new guys that played towards the end of the year. We'll have some experienced Jack Boyke who played football as a kicker.
Yes,
part-time.
Yeah, right.
You know, you have Lincoln Hayward. There's a ton of guys. We're if you you should have need a program if you're a Bulldog fan when you come watch us, because it's the same guys, right? And then we'll have some new guys get in there and help us out as needed. But we are experienced veteran, but yet young yet. They're still sophomore and juniors.
It's a hard lineup to crack.
A lot of them have one more year after this at least.
Does AJ have another year?
He does. And he's coming back. And he's going to be married by then, too. Teddy Wagner's another huge name. There's so many guys. Like, that's one of the things, that we don't have really nine set guys. That's probably the luxury, is that we have the opportunity to have 20 guys at some point that will get some playing time that will contribute. And usually it's a hot guy or not the hot guy or somebody like that. And that's one of the cool things about our team, is that we have a lot of guys. And competition breeds competition, right? You know, you don't want to go to a program where, like, yeah, no, I'm not that good. And if I'm not that good, no one's going to beat me out. These guys got to compete every day. Else they know that their name might not be in that lineup. And they've accepted that. It's not a threat. They've accepted that. It's how you get better.
Sure. All right. If people want to learn more about Adrian College Baseball, go to AdrianBulldogs.com. Or if you have the app, I think you can get to the schedule. Coach/Mr. Klotz. I appreciate it, and
thank you for your time.
We'll have another conversation.
You keep going, man. I will listen every morning. We gotta get the mics turned on every now and then, but I'll get those texts thrown in there.
All right, good stuff. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right, we will be right back. The ACL Access Show from Frickers and Adrian. We are going to head to the ice for ACHA Men's Division I and Division III ice hockey with Tyler Fife. He's the assistant coach and an assistant sports information director at Adrian College. We're going to step aside for these quick messages. This is the ACL Access Show from Frickers in Adrian. I'm Ian Wentz. We'll be back on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
There's plenty of upcoming AC sports for you to enjoy. Take your pick from men's hockey, women's hockey, and men's volleyball games happening throughout the weekend on the campus of Adrian College.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Welcome back to the AC All Access Show on this Thursday afternoon at Frickers in Adrian, right on Main Street. They're hiring cooks. So if you want to grab some part-time work, or maybe you've always wanted to be a cook, this is your opportunity. They cook some great food. I am a regular at this place, and I'm not ashamed to say it. Weekday lunch specials. Weekday specials. What's today? Thursday, it's chicken chunks. That's the special here at Frickers in Adrian. We're going to talk a full spectrum of sports in just a little bit with, it says Mike Prank / Craig Rainey, so they might split some time. But right now, we're going to talk a lot of hockey, ACHA hockey, with Tyler Fife. He is an assistant SID at Adrian College. You also are an assistant coach for the men's Division I and III teams. But we're going to talk about all of the ACHA. Tyler, I think it's important to note ACHA is way more expansive than NCAA. There are dozens more teams in ACHA than NCAA.
Correct.
Big schools don't have NCAA, but they have ACHA.
Correct.
So it's a very, you could say it's more competitive because there are more teams, right?
Yes, absolutely. And there's lots of divisions. Obviously, there's three divisions in the men's side and two in the women's side. Each division has 60-plus, 70-plus teams. A lot of the NCAA schools that are big do have their NCAA sports, but they also have ACHA hockey as well. So it's very big, like you said, and it's just, it's growing too. It's just getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, and successful at Adrian College, really up and on the board in the ACHA programs. If we'll talk about your teams, the ones that you help out coach, but I think you just go up and down, and these teams are making noise nationally. A lot of them have numbers in front of their names, right?
Correct, yeah. I think four of our five teams are ranked, so obviously the big dogs, MD1, they're number two in the country, having a great season. The men's D2 team as well, they're ranked fifth in the Central Division, having probably their best season of all time. Women's D1, they're number three in the country. And then women's D2, they're ranked fourth in the Central. So a lot of success going on this year at Adrian as far as ACHA hockey goes, and going to be a big test coming up with playoffs and nationals too.
Right, yeah, just right around the corner. Seems like a season that starts early and goes late, and all of a sudden, oh, we're in the postseason right now. It's just crazy how that happens.
Yep.
There are regions, as you alluded to, with ACHA.
Correct.
Do you know how those are constructed?
Yeah, so men's D2, men's D3, women's D2 are all regions. Women's D1, men's D1 are just country.
They have
just no divisions, no regions, stuff like that, just one.
Okay,
I don't know
overall.
Overall, yes.
But they do, most of them play in a league.
Yes, they all have different conferences.
Yeah.
But for the rankings, it's all one.
Okay.
So like I said, men's D2, men's D3, women's D2, they all have the regions. There's four different regions. You got the Central, the West, the Southeast, and the Northeast. So their rankings are a little different, like I said, by region compared to the D1. But like I said, all of our teams are pretty high in those rankings. So
yeah. Does that just kind of help with the postseason play where maybe travel isn't that big of an issue?
Yes, definitely travel. And because, like you said, there's so many teams. Especially in the men's D2 division, there's 160 teams, I think. So you got to kind of divide them up into regions, I guess. So
yeah,
it definitely helps with that.
From the assistant coach side, I don't know how much recruiting you do, but again, you're competing with, Illinois or, Ohio State,
right.
Michigan for the ACHA kids. What's the selling point for Adrian College? Is it just the support from the administration that you are, I don't know if it's partially or fully funded program through the school?
Yeah.
The players don't need to contribute.
Yeah, we have a lot of selling points at Adrian. Obviously, we have our top-notch facilities. Obviously, being a hockey hotbed, it's very central to a lot of things. A lot of people are close to us. A lot of success, obviously. There's been a long history of success that kind of brings people to want to play for Adrian. I think our culture is very strong too. So we try to recruit kids that, want to win, want to play, but are also good people. So that kind of, we push to achieve that, and we're pretty successful at that. Recruiting is always very, very good for Adrian. So, I'm in my first year of coaching. I'm not necessarily into the recruiting. I've done a couple things here and there to help out with that, just to kind of get my feet wet. But the coaching staff that we have on the men's side are very committed to recruiting the top players in the country. So
yeah, if you're going to learn from somebody, learn from the best, right?
Exactly. Yep.
All right, let's get to the specific teams. ACHA Men's Division One, their conference tournament is starting next weekend, along with Men's Division Three. Those are both teams you are affiliated with.
Correct.
What's the breakdown, how does that go? How many teams are in it? This is the last year in the Great Lakes Hockey League.
Yep.
There are all these acronyms.
Yep.
But the Great Lakes Hockey League is our last season in it.
Yep.
You won the regular season. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
How do you need to grab some more hardware for that tournament?
So we have our last regular season series this weekend, starting tonight actually, playing Grand Valley, who's a conference opponent. And then next week, like you said, we'll dive into the conference tournament. We're set to host the first game, the quarterfinal, at home on Wednesday. And then hopefully kind of go from there. And then the semifinals and the finals will be Friday, Saturday. So, like you said, we compete in the GLCHL our last season. Just got our 12th regular season championship in program history. And then hoping to get our 9th playoff championship. So before we move on to the GL6. So that's where we'll go with that. As far as the men's D3 side goes, they also do their conference tournament next week.
They're not nationally ranked, but they're still competing for a conference championship. Not exactly sure how that's going to be formatted yet because there's still a week left.
Okay.
But they're in a conference as well, so they'll compete in the quarterfinal and hopefully advance from there. So big week next week for D1 and D3. Yeah.
For the listeners that may be new to ACHA,
yep.
What kind of teams are you going to see in the postseason tournament? Are they going to be schools that people know about?
Yeah. So basically all the schools in the area that most people would know about. So for the D1 team, they're competing at schools like Calvin and Oakland and Davenport, Grand Valley. And then on the D3 side, you got Oakland as well, Michigan, Saginaw Valley, Michigan Flint, teams in the area that are all really good. So
right.
There's a lot of familiarity there. Conference games that, you know, everybody's played each other a bunch of times this season already, so should be fun.
Yeah, familiarity.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's always good to have familiarity.
conference tournaments are, the dates are set for the ACHA Women's Division 1, Division 2, and then the ACHA Men Division 2, all set up for the weekend of the 23rd through 25th. The regional tournament for the Men's Division 2. So do the men on Division 2 just go right to regional? Is there no conference tournament?
Yeah, MD2 is a little different. They're not in a conference.
Okay.
So they're independent technically, so they don't compete in a playoff tournament. They just go right to regionals after their season's over. So right now they're sitting at number 5 in the region. And how the regional championships works, it goes the top 2 in each region get a bye, so they don't have to compete at regionals. They just go right to the national tournament.
Okay.
So then the next 3 to 12, I think it is, compete at regionals, and then the 3 to 6 seeds get a bye to the semifinal. So it's a lot to take in, but essentially right now, Adrian has a bye to the semifinals as the rankings stand right now. So they would
and
compete.
That's the regional semifinal.
The regional, yes, the regional semifinal, and then if they're successful at regionals, then they'll move on to the national tournament.
And you have to win your region to go to the national
Correct.
Tournament?
You have to be one of the top seeds coming up in the regional tournament, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
It's kind of like if you were to talk about soccer.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, all right, well, we're in this group, and we got to do this, and
yes.
But this over here, and here are these things.
Yeah.
It's complicated, but if you really take in each division and each side of, you know, men's or women's, it makes sense for what
yes.
they do. Now, if the men's D2 were in a conference, it'd be similar to
the other teams.
To the others.
They would play a conference tournament before regions.
Okay.
Yeah, correct.
All right. Do we know who's going to be at home? I think that's for the listeners important. When can they go to the Arrington and watch the ACHAs?
Yeah.
Do we know that yet?
Well, there's not many home games left this season. All the conference tournaments are away from Adrian. But we do have a couple home games left in the regular season. Men's D1 plays tonight against Grand Valley at home, 7:30. That'll be a big game. Men's D2 is done at home. Men's D3 is done at home. Women's D1 still has 2 home games left next weekend. And I think women's D2 has a game this weekend and next weekend. So 4 or 5 games left at the Arrington this season.
So why are the conference tournaments not at home?
Yeah, so
that confuses me.
It's a little different than NCAA for sure. They're usually neutral site tournaments.
Oh.
So a different school or a different arena will host the conference tournament just so everyone can come and compete in one place rather than, you know, travel for the quarters and the semis and the finals. So it's just an ACHA thing, I guess you could say, where they're always meeting in a neutral site to do those conference tournaments.
The school might not have the facilities
yeah,
to host everybody, right?
To host 8 teams or whatever it is. So the odd time in D1, Adrian has hosted the GLCHL playoffs. I remember my freshman year we hosted the playoffs, and then maybe a few years before that. So it's kind of just whatever works best logistically for all the teams.
All right,
so.
Talking with Tyler Fife with a couple of the ACHA men's programs, Division 1 and Division 3. Also, Assistant Sports Information Director. So you work a lot with Mike Prang in that department. I don't know, only 50-some sports to keep track of.
Yeah.
What's a normal day for you with sports information?
Yeah, it's a lot. You know, being a former player, obviously I'm still in school. I'm in graduate school. So I balance that. I balance coaching, and then I balance the SID work. So my days are really busy. The good thing is, though, I do love what I do. And then
that
I got,
helps.
I got Big Mike here behind me who's always helpful to me in my everyday work. So, I'm not always in the office like he is every day, but just because I balance everything. But when I am in the office, I enjoy what I do, and I love covering all these teams. It's a lot of fun, and it's helpful towards what I want to do.
Don't want to put the pressure on you or hold you to anything, but you got the SID stuff, you have the coaching, you're in graduate school, like you said. What are your plans for after grad school?
Well, obviously, I have a huge interest in sports. I do want to continue to work in sports. That's something I've always loved. Coaching, this is my first year coaching. I absolutely love it. It keeps me involved in the game, having stopped playing last year. I just can't imagine myself not working in the world of sports. But the other thing I deal with, too, is being an international student. I am a Canadian. So hopefully I find a way to stick around in the States where I can kind of pursue my career a little bit longer before I have to go.
Well, there are sports in Canada, too.
Yeah, there are sports
in Canada. I don't know if you've heard, but they're pretty good at hockey.
They are very good at hockey. Yep. Very good. The only thing in Canada is there's a lot more opportunity down in America. So, obviously, I have a lot of experience down here, so I kind of want to try and explore that a bit more before I resort back to going to Canada. So,
sure. Yeah, I don't blame you. A lot of opportunities at Adrian College.
Absolutely.
Tyler, thanks for the conversation.
Yep.
Good luck with everything. It's a long list of stuff you do, but best of luck with the postseason with your Division I and Division III teams, and keep up the good work with the SID stuff.
Sure. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And again, Tyler Fife with Adrian College, the ACHA Men's Division I and III assistant coach, and also the assistant sports information director with Adrian College. On the other side, I think we're going to maybe talk to both the sports information director, Mike Prang, and the athletic director, Craig Rainey, at Adrian College. They'll arm wrestle to see who goes first or does the whole segment. All right, Mike Prang is going to be joining us next. We'll be back. It's the ACL Access Show from Frickers in Adrian on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
There's plenty of upcoming AC sports for you to enjoy. Take your pick from men's hockey, women's hockey, and men's volleyball games happening throughout the weekend on the campus of Adrian College.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the ACL Access Show on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com, live from Frickers in Adrian. It's Thursday. It's Chicken Chunks Day. That's the special all day long. They also have $6.49 frickin' lunch combos. You got a burger, fries, and a drink, wings, fries, and a drink, the chicken wrap, which I have waiting for me under a heat lamp for about an hour. That'll be tasty after the show. Once again, I'm Ian Wentz. John Kane is back in our studios. It's great to have John here for the broadcast to make sure things go smooth. And speaking of things going smoothly, the sports information director at Adrian College joins me now, Mike Prang. Well, we're getting into that special time of year where one sports season is ending and one is just beginning. Winter sports finishing up. Spring sports are starting to practice. I think we'll just start with NCAA winter sports postseason preview. We got a couple of hockey teams that are going to play some postseason play. And what are we looking at with that, Prang?
Yeah, definitely. The NCAA women's hockey team is won the NCHA once again, 3 years in a row now. They've won it 9 out of the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Our only year was the COVID year, and we lost in the tiebreaker when we were doing divisions that year. So
Yeah, Skelly mentioned that on the road trip once or twice.
So they've clinched home ice advantage for the NCHA playoffs. The men are almost there. They have their final week of the regular season, a home-and-home series with Trine University this weekend. Friday night at home, it's going to be a big one because men just need to beat them once. That's it. We're up 4 points already in the standings. So the way we do it, you get 3 points for a regulation win. So that's why we haven't locked it up yet. So if we get a win in regulation or overtime, we go in and we lock up the Peters Cup, the regular season for the NCHA for the men, and then that would obviously lock up home ice advantage for them.
Yeah,
so
they need 2 points, right, this weekend?
Yeah, they need at least two. So you get 2 points if you win in overtime or a shootout. You get 3 points you win in regulation. So so just a win over Trine, of the two games this week. Hopefully it's Friday night.
To win it at home.
Yeah, but Saturday's still a big one too because the pairwise ranking, which is a primary ranking for NCAA tournament and everything like that, you still got to win games to stay up in that, regardless if you've won your conference or not. And I mean, Trine had a hiccup last week and they dropped from number 6 in the pairwise all the way down to 21st. So like,
probably we're down to 21st.
Like, yeah, Trine's got to Trine essentially needs to be an automatic bid to make the NCAA tournament now because they had a hiccup of a weekend. I mean, if they were to sweep us this weekend, maybe it boosts them back up. But it just proves that, you know, these are two big games for the Bulldogs, regardless if they clinch the number one seed or not on Friday night. Saturday still matters, and it matters quite a bit.
Yeah, it does. And the regular season championship doesn't guarantee you a spot in the NCAAs.
Correct.
A postseason tournament championship does.
Yes.
And there are at-large bids, too.
Yeah.
I think Coach was saying there will be 13 teams in
the
field.
They extended the men's tournament from 12 teams to 13 teams, so one less team gets a bye to the quarterfinals, but there is one additional at-large bid, but still for a 13-team tournament, and I think there's 9 or 10 conferences throughout the country. There's not many at-large bids, so
right.
Just essentially do your job, win games, and lock up an automatic bid to make sure you're safe.
Right, and for the ladies, too, I think they're at number, are they 5 or 4 in the pairwise?
5, they're very...
It's like within a point.
Like 0.001 points of being in 4th and stuff. We were in 4th one day, next day we were in 5th, and so, but it's... We're kind of borderline 4th and 5th here. So,
yeah.
But they still have to do their job too. I mean, Trine's not the most stacked team on the women's side, but I mean, you still need to beat that team and beat pretty well to continue to rise in those rankings.
All right. You have to look impressive. And that's where things get into gray areas of, the women beat St. Norbert 7-1 on the second day. Well, they beat them 2-1 the first day.
Yeah.
In the view of the computer who comes up with the pairwise, a 2-1 win over St. Norbert won't boost you up.
No.
So they almost expect you to beat them that kind of score.
Yeah.
So we're playing Trine. They're a team that's down on their luck, but I don't know if they've clinched into the tournament or not. But if you go and win, they're 8-1.
Yeah.
You almost need to hold your spot in the pairwise.
Exactly.
It's a weird spot for Coach Sean Skelly to be in, for sure.
Yeah, but, I mean, the girls are wanting to stay active and everything because next week comes the quarterfinals, and both men and women are hosting that. So one thing to note, the men are playing first on the quarterfinal days, and the women are playing second, so the women actually have the night games. The men will have the afternoon games. So Friday next week, we don't have the opponent yet, but the men will play at 3:00 on Friday, and the women will play at 7:00. It's flipped this year where the women have the primetime games.
Okay.
Last year the men had them. So
the quarterfinals go the two-game series plus
the
mini game if you need it.
If you need it, yes.
So that'd be Friday, Saturday.
Friday, Saturday, for both.
That's
both at home.
That's different. The women's tournament is different, right? Or different in that it's mirroring the men.
This year it's mirrored the men. In past years, it's been quarterfinal weekend and then the following weekend's been the semifinals and the championship, all at the number one seed.
Right.
Friday, Saturday. This year they've switched it where it mimics the men, where it's the two-game quarterfinal, then the following weekend's a one-game semi, then the following weekend is the championship. So
I obviously think that's the way to go.
Yes.
And it was probably money why they wanted to do two games in a weekend.
Yeah.
In one location. But I think I don't know if they got pushback from the coaches or the schools or what, but I think it's good for the sport on the women's side, mm-hmm. because maybe you play that second game Friday, the second semifinal game.
Yeah.
You're in a dogfight, and then you turn around on a Saturday afternoon and you got to go play again.
Yeah. So
kind of balances out, and it gives another school a chance to host the second game.
Exactly. Yeah.
The semi.
Yeah. Gives the number two seed another home game for the semis rather than having to go play a neutral game.
Yeah, exactly. So we have NCAA hockey with the NCHA playoffs. We're going to look at basketball, too, because both the teams, handful of games left, men and women, they both have a chance to get into the MIAA postseason tournament. The men, if the tournament started today, they would be in.
Mm-hmm.
The women, if it started today, I believe they would be out. So the ladies need some help and some wins. And the men are looking to possibly sneak into getting a home game in the first round.
Yeah, the men kind of control their own destiny. The women, they need to win out, and they need some help from some other teams to hopefully Alma loses out. But then we get into not the first tiebreaker, not the second tiebreaker. I think we already dropped down to the third tiebreaker between us and Alma. So it's a slim shot for the women, but there's still the possibility. The men are in a three-way tie for fourth place right now. Due to the tiebreakers, if it were to start today, the men would be the final seed, the sixth seed. But what helps is there's three games left on the schedule. One of them's against the 3-8 Albion Britons, and then other two are against 4-7 Kalamazoo, 4-7 Alma, and the Bulldogs are also 4-7. So those teams that they're tied with are still on the schedule. So they kind of control their own fate, and you got to win to get in, essentially. So,
yeah, you said it. And on the we're playing these teams for the second time. And I think you see in the MIAA, anyone can compete with and beat somebody on any given night. Like last night, the women hosted Trine.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're still nationally ranked.
Yeah.
Lost by 11.
Yeah, and it was Trine only took a 2-point lead into the fourth quarter. So, you know, that's just sports. Beat anyone on any given day, any given night, any given place. So,
and the men, when they played Trine in Detroit,
it's a 4-point loss.
4-point loss against number 7.
Yeah.
So just
Trine's now number 2, actually. So
just get into the tournament.
Yep.
And that's the same thing for all these sports. We need to hit on the men's wrestling team. They have two duels left. They're looking to win the MIAA for the second straight year. Who do they have left, and are they home for any of those? Do you know?
Yeah, so we're at Olivet tonight, big duel tonight against Olivet. That's our third one of the season, and then our final one will be next week against Trine University. That's going to be a home duel, and that could lock it up to hopefully go 4-0 and win the tournament again, or win the regular season again, and be MIAA champions.
Now, the women in a unique spot. We know there's no MIAA mm-hmm. for women's wrestling, but they're looking to get some position. They have regionals coming up.
Yeah, definitely. They go to Gannon University in a couple weeks for regionals. And then depending on kind of how high each individual places and everything, they go to nationals. Like last year, I think we sent 12 or 14 girls to the national championship just based on how high they placed in the regionals. So they're looking to do that again. They had a duel on Tuesday night that got postponed due to some illnesses on one of the teams. So they're looking to reschedule that because that was also going to be their senior day and their final tune-up for regionals. And then after that, like I said, go to nationals in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Kind of the women's wrestling collegiate national championship. A lot of W's and C's and
a lot of acronyms today.
Some big news came out yesterday, actually, from the NCAA that they've they've recommended Division I, II, and III for women's wrestling because of the growth and the emerging status of the sport to become the 91st NCAA championship sport and by 2026, I believe, and kind of have an actual NCAA national championship rather than kind of a cluster of all the divisions in one.
Wow. Well, some good news from the NCAA coming down the pipe. A lot of information there. It's all good stuff. Winter sports wrapping up, spring sports right around the corner. Mike Prang, the sports information director at Adrian College. A lot of stuff. You memorized it. You didn't read anything off a sheet of paper, so good on you.
I'm the one that typed it up for you.
Yeah, well, and I appreciate that, and thanks for your time on the cave, and we'll see you around.
No problem. We'll see you around. Thank you.
Once again, Mike Prang with Adrian College, the sports information director. Thank you to all of our guests today on the ACL Access Show, Tyler Fife, the assistant SID, and the men's Division I and III ACHA hockey assistant coach. Good conversation with Aaron Klotz, Adrian College football and baseball alum, and Taz Wallace, the Adrian College football alum. A lot of good conversations. Glad you all stuck around with us. We're here at Frickers in Adrian, Thursday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. I'm Ian Wendt for John Kane back in the studio on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
That's a wrap for today's episode of AC All Access. We hope you enjoyed this exclusive look behind the scenes of Adrian College Athletics. Join us next Thursday at Frickers and Adrian. Check out upcoming Adrian College events at adrianbulldogs.com.